Rams fans, welcome into Rams Showcase. My name is Sheriff Joe Bags. Tonight, three games left, and the Rams find themselves in a position to maybe add a few more. Tight race in the NFC playoffs, and the Rams are smack dab in the middle of that bad boy. And of course, later, the team breathing down the Rams' necks come to town for Thursday Night Football. Got your full game preview for the Saints at the Rams. Before we hop in, just a quick heads up, at Rams Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags, that's where you can follow on socials. Head to ramshowcase.com, click under that merch tab, that's where you can snag yourself a Rams Showcase t-shirt. They are absolutely awesome, and well, they're super soft and stuff like that, and make you look super cool. And it's also the holiday season, maybe get yourself a gift and score yourself a Rams Showcase t-shirt, or if you know somebody who listens to Rams Showcase who keeps talking about how sick these shirts are, because they are. Well, I'll just go ahead and snag one for them as we are diving into the holiday season. So, a lot to get into here, but most of it's game preview stuff because we got a pretty big matchup on Thursday Night Football as the Rams sitting in the 7th seed, the Saints sitting in the 8th seed, both with the same record. So, yeah, it's a pretty big deal. Effectively a playoff game for this one, which is very exciting stuff. But first, before we dive in to that information here, just a few transactions for you. Had some minor fines. This is since we've last spoken. So Kyren Williams, he did get fined for a low block against Baltimore. That was, you know, over $5,200 there. That was kind of crazy. And DeMarcus Robinson, $6,400 for excessive celebration against Baltimore. Feels a little insane, but hey, it happens, all right? And the Rams also opened the activation window for running back Ronnie Rivers. So his practice window is now open. So we'll see if the Rams are able to get him back. Sidebar, they're doing a bunch of work on I-25 right now. I have no idea if you can hear. I can hear it very, very loudly. So if you hear some just insane work going down construction-wise outside, that's what's happening right now. Interstate 25 getting a lot of work done. It's also 12:20 in the morning, which means everybody here is having a good time. For sure. All right, let's move on here to the rest of the West here. And standings-wise, so obviously we're getting into the point now where we need to start talking about the playoffs and all that stuff, the playoff races and stuff like that. But I will say this. So I am always very much division guy. I'm very, like, you win your division and then worry about anything else kind of thing. But we do know that the San Francisco 49ers leading the division have now clinched the division, which does mean we steer our attention more towards wild cards. Although this entire time, internally, in my brain, I've been looking at, like, how can we win this division? How can we win it all? But either way, the 49ers locking that up last week, their win against the Arizona Cardinals. So that's no longer a goal for the Rams, as they are coming off of the win against the Washington Commanders. And this week, of course, hosting the New Orleans Saints for Thursday Night Football. Final home game of the year. We got your game preview coming up here soon. And then the Seattle Seahawks, they did defeat the Philadelphia Eagles, which definitely a little bit of a surprise there, I'll be honest with you here. And of course, this week at the Tennessee Titans. The Arizona Cardinals sitting in fourth place and have now officially been eliminated from playoff contention. So we don't really need to talk about them anymore, do we? Because, yeah, they're done. They're out skis. So it's all good there. Playoff race here. San Francisco 49ers are sitting in the top slot right now, and they can clinch the number one seed with a win and a loss by the Eagles, the Lions, and the Cowboys. So probably not happening this week, but they're sitting up there for sure. And they also get Baltimore this week, which is a very good game. That's the late Monday night game, so a Christmas Day game. That'll be a very interesting one to watch. Definitely the possibility of a Super Bowl preview there, San Francisco versus Baltimore, although I still have my reservations about the 49ers once we do get to postseason play. So Philadelphia Eagles sitting right now with the 2 seed, and they also play on Christmas Day. They play the midday game against the Giants. Detroit Lions sitting in third at that 3 seed right now with a 10-4 record. This week they're at Minnesota. Interesting matchup there. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers sitting in the 4 seed. They will host the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are in their own little fight out there in Florida. So a little Florida battle, but cross-conference. Pretty cool stuff. And then the Dallas Cowboys sitting as your top wild card team. Oh, actually, you know what? I wrote this before the game was over. So You can scratch out the Philadelphia Eagles being in that two seed, as that is the Dallas Cowboys moving into that slot. So Philadelphia Eagles actually sitting at the five seed, and they'll be taking on the Giants, of course. But the Dallas Cowboys at Miami, which is quite the tough game there. But the Dallas Cowboys did clinch a playoff berth despite getting absolutely wrecked in Buffalo. Sixth seed right now is the Minnesota Vikings at 7-7. Of course, they host the Detroit Lions for an awesome divisional matchup in December. You gotta love that. The Rams, your LA Rams, sitting in the seventh seed right now with a 7-7 record. So if the season ended today, would be playing, the Cowboys. So that'd be an interesting matchup there, a team that already defeated the Rams. But let's be honest here. That kind of thing would not happen again. Like, right? Like, the whole just, like, getting smoked and just, like, nothing going right. It'd probably not happen again. I would like to hope. But, of course, this week, the Rams hosting the New Orleans Saints, who currently sit at the 8th seed with also a 7-7 record at the Rams this week, meaning that the winner of that game, that is a very snug battle there. So, winner of that game on Thursday Night Football, controls their own destiny, and there's a lot of different pieces that go into that. We'll talk about that game here in just a moment. The Seattle Seahawks sitting right now at the 9 seed. They are at the Titans, and then we have the Atlanta Falcons at 6-8 against Indy, and then the Green Bay Packers now have fallen down to the 11 seed. They'll be taking on the Carolina Panthers. Spoiler alert, I picked the Panthers, and I don't know if all my picks were very just, like, for the Rams, because last week was the perfect Rams week. Everything kind of went the Rams' way. Everybody we needed to lose was losing, and then the Rams took care of their own business, so that was obviously awesome stuff. But this race is extremely snug, and we are in such a tight battle right now because, like, Minnesota is not doing great, but they're above the Rams right now, so that could buy the Rams a little bit of wiggle room if the Minnesota Vikings can don't beat the Detroit Lions. If the Lions win that game, Minnesota falls down a little bit, and if the Rams can defeat the New Orleans Saints, then the Rams really could be in a really perfect position to make a push here. Seattle Seahawks, though, kind of nipping at the heels a little bit as well. So the race is very, very intriguing right now, and definitely not over, for sure. Let's see, like the Atlanta Falcons, though, they have a little bit of a tough path. The Green Bay Packers have an easy schedule, but a tough path, and they need a lot of help from other teams above them. So that's where they kind of get the short end of the stick there. But that is not the end of the stick that we care about. The end that we care about is the LA Rams and what we need to do to see this team continue on playing past the San Francisco 49ers in Week 18 and playing into the postseason. We'll get into your game preview, Saints at Rams, after this quick break. It's right here at Rams Showcase.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
The Los Angeles Rams at 7-7 host the 7-7 New Orleans Saints for Thursday night football at SoFi Stadium on the 21st of December. This is a 5:15 Pacific time kickoff with Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit in the booth. We get Kaylee Harding on the sideline. Your national radio broadcast on ESPN will feature Sparrow Dedis and Mike Golick. So a lot of moving parts going into this game. This is not time to let up if you're either the Rams or the Saints, really. So this is such a tough game. This is effectively, essentially a playoff game for both teams. Rams at the 7th seed, Saints at the 8th seed, which means the winner will control their own destiny. This also is likely the last home, or this is the last home game of the regular season, and very likely the last home game for the entire season, because the Rams right now cannot win the division. And right now, sitting in the 7th seed, and I know that can change, but probably not higher than the 6th, so it'll either be a 6 or a 7 or out of the playoffs, which would mean that, like, if the Rams get to the 6th seed, they would need the 7th seed to make it to the NFC Championship before they could play a home game. So it is unlikely that the Rams will get another home game after this, so if you're going to SoFi this week on Thursday Night Football, definitely drink it in. Probably the last time that this team will play there. until we get into the preseason in August. And then, of course, regular season action back up in September, which we'll definitely have game previews for here. We're really getting into the beef of the playoff race, too, which is absolutely awesome. With only three games left, we are playing three teams who are fighting for something. And yes, the Giants are in that conversation as well, as far as fighting for something. And then you have the 49ers fighting for playoff seeding, and then the Saints, of course, who are fighting for their playoff lives. They are in the position that the Rams have been sitting in for the last few weeks. So obviously there's a lot of things that we are watching for there. But if the Rams lose, like say one or two or three of these games and miss the playoffs, then I'll be honest, we were never supposed to go. I'm a pretty optimistic Rams fan. And as far as like the Rams shows go, I'm probably one of the more optimistic Rams fans. I also like to be like realistic, but also I'm one of those people that doesn't believe like realistic does not equal pessimism. You know what I mean? Like those aren't synonyms. Like good things can happen. So saying that you're realistic and then you're just pessimistic, that's not real. I mean, those are two different things, but either way, I'm a very optimistic Rams fan. I like to see the good things. I like to see ways that the Rams could maybe pull something out that's awesome. And I'll be honest, I didn't even think this team would be in a position to make a deep playoff run, but look at the way this team's playing right now. I did not think that over the course of the season that we would see this team playing this well at any point. I did think that over the course of the season, we would see the Rams kind of settle into their own. I said it until I was blue in the face leading into the season, that the week one Rams, the week 18 Rams, going to be essentially two completely different teams. And that is absolutely what we're seeing. We're also seeing a team right now, though, going into this game against the New Orleans Saints that is absolutely on fire right now. This is the Rams are playing as one of the best teams in the NFL. The Rams limped into their bye week, losing three straight, falling to a 3-6 record. And at bye week, it was kind of like, okay, well, it's just not really working out. It's just not going the way we wanted it to, but maybe we can kind of pull something together and it'd be cool. After the bye week, taking the bye week to totally recoup, the Rams have now gone 4-1 in their last five, with their lone loss coming in overtime against the best team in the AFC in their house in an early window kickoff, which is where the Rams don't do well. East Coast games, early kickoff, the Rams typically have not done well there. You add on top of that, the best team in the AFC right now with all their weapons. It's not like they were beat up or anything like that. OBJ, of course, had like one of those total OBJ games where you're like, all right, he's just unstoppable in this one. And then Lamar is just impossible to sack, stuff like that. And the Rams push that game to overtime. And then you, of course, like the way it ends and stuff like that is super bitter and terrible. And you get, you know, missed tackles is mainly what I want to mention there. But also there was like some missed penalties, whatever. It doesn't really matter. But either way, 4-1 in that one loss coming in a very, very tight game against one of the NFL's elite teams on the road in their house, early kickoff window. That's absolutely amazing. The Rams might barely be sitting in a playoff picture right now, but this is absolutely one of the best teams in the league today. Thursday night football, though, definitely a perfect opportunity to show it off. But this time, it's under the lights, man. SoFi Stadium, all eyes on you if you have Prime. And, you know, it's just like kind of the perfect situation to kind of show the rest of the NFL that, like, hey, this is another team fighting for the playoffs that's behind us right now. And if we can kind of just suffocate them and just push their heads, just you know, use them as a step stool to better ourselves, then we'll be in a good position here. And everybody else will see that as well. Obviously, most teams see most games, but to have it under the lights, all eyes on you kind of situation, we're sitting in a pretty good spot to kind of show the world and show everybody else what the Rams fans are now talking about, which is this team is unbelievable right now. And this game specifically, this really isn't viewed as one of the Rams' top rivals in the New Orleans Saints, but it definitely is a pretty big rivalry. And to what degree, really feels up to the individual fan. I know that that from the Rams fan perspective, maybe we don't really think about the Saints very much, but I can tell you this very confidently. The Saints fans hate the Rams with their whole hearts. And it's not just the NFC Championship game. This goes back to forever ago when we used to play each other all the time. And the Saints fans are very not Rams fans, that's for sure. And they don't want to see us do well. But I would say that that from the rivalry perspective, it is definitely like the Rams are definitely a Saints rival. But I don't know how much the Saints are a Rams rival. Does that make any sense? It's like, I don't know how else to explain that. I didn't have a metaphor like put in place here yet, but it's just one of those things where it's like when somebody like hates you with their whole heart, they cannot stand you. And then you're like, who is that guy? What is he doing? You know, it's like one of those situations. But these Saints fans, they're not happy. They are not happy. And I will say this as well, that we have played in some pretty intense moments with the Saints. And of course, what kind of podcast would I be? I have to talk about the NFC Championship game, right? The Saints fans and probably team to this day feel cheated by the Rams. A chunk of their fan base reminds us of that regularly, that they feel they should have been the team in the Super Bowl. And we hear all the comments of like, should have been us. We would have put up more than 3 points and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, well, but you weren't. So there's, what about that part that you weren't though? You didn't win the game. And it also didn't end on that play. So definitely still had chances. Y'all had the ball in overtime, remember, and still lost. So there's that part. John Johnson back with the Rams, a hero of that day for sure. As what was it, Dante Fowler coming in and hitting Breeze and getting that ball tipped up there. So, but either way, the Rams played in the Super Bowl, y'all didn't. So there's that part of it. And if anybody, by the way, I want to change gears here. I don't want to be just a jerk to Saints and their fans. I know some Saints fans that I absolutely love. So there's that part of it. I don't know if they're going to listen. Probably not. I would hope not, actually. But get out of here if you are, first of all. But yeah, we'll switch gears here to something a little bit more positive and some sick tips if you are going to this game. Because first of all, if you're going, I'm absolutely jealous of that. I'm definitely planning on going next year. I'll be at the Packers game for sure. Chris, you already know, man. So I'll be out there for that one. But if you're going to be at SoFi Stadium this Thursday for this game, then don't forget to also, yeah, you don't miss any plays. All right. That's key. All right. Because take advantage of it because of people like me who can't be there, who would probably kill it to do it, you know, to get out there on a Thursday night, for the final game. Primetime Rams ball is obviously the best thing in the universe, but, don't miss any plays. And, there's an option for this where you can actually take advantage of Uber Eats at SoFi Stadium. I just learned about this not long ago. You can actually order on the Uber Eats app, and then you can you'll go to the express line at the concessions, and they'll have your food ready for you. It's not like a paid sponsorship. I just think that that's awesome. So it's cool as hell. Smirnoff also is giving samples of the Rampede and the Home Game Punch cocktails. That'll be in the Upper American Airlines Plaza from 3 until kickoff. 3 is also when the doors open. Rams Rally Towel giveaway at entry while supplies last, so be sure to snag one of those. I have Venmo, and if anybody is willing to send me one, I got you, because those are so sick. I don't know if you've seen them, but they're really, really cool, and I absolutely need one on my back wall for when we get videos back up and rolling. Busta Rhymes performing at halftime. Don't forget that. There's also a slight chance of rain in L.A. Hell, it's freezing over. And large umbrellas, of course, not allowed into SoFi Stadium, but the small collapsible ones are allowed, so be sure to check that out. And again, if you are heading out, Pink Lot opens at noon. Regular parking at 1, doors at 3, kickoff at 5:15. So Pink Lot at noon, that's absolutely where you need to be. Tell everybody I said what up, because those are my people in that Pink Lot for sure. And moving on to the matchup here, this is the Rams offense against the Saints defense. On offense, the Rams now ranking 8th in total yards, putting up over 370 a game, while the Saints defense is a top 10 unit, giving up a little about 327.5 given up per game there. Passing the football, the Rams are 11th right now, putting up just barely under 236 a game, while the Saints defense is giving up about 185 a game. That is 6th in the NFL for the Saints defense against the pass. Running the ball, the Rams 11th here as well, putting up a little over 121 a game. That number definitely helped out by the return of Kyren Williams, who, he runs the football really well. Saints defense giving up 126.5-ish. That's 24th in the league. Rams putting up 23.4 points per game. That is 9th in the NFL. And the Saints defense giving up 19.1. That is 6th in the league. The Rams offense has truly turned a corner since the bye week and is now creeping into the top 8, which you absolutely love to see. Matthew Stafford, he is on an incredible stretch right now, and it's perfect timing if we're going to make a playoff push. We kind of need that guy to be doing good things with footballs, and he is right now, which is very good stuff. Saints defense definitely been solid, especially against the pass, but do they have the depth to cover these Rams weapons? I mean, Now with you get like DeMarcus Robinson emerging, Tutu Atwell will return this week. So, I mean, Benny Scow, the Scow Plow dude, he's out here, you know, he's obviously awesome as well. He's got the capability to have an impact. And then the two big ones, Kupa and Puka. Those are obviously, I don't want to say impossible, but they're so difficult to cover, man. So there's a lot of depth needed to be able to cover the Rams' weapons for sure. But a short week also means a bit of a messed up game plan, as you don't have the full week of preparation and installs that you can do. But if we were tossing out, get out the creative X's and O's for this game in just a full week of preparation, I'm taking the Rams roster in this one, actually. So I think that, that there's a lot of factors that go into a Thursday night game. And I think it does help that this game is so late, because at this point of the year, you know what you're doing. I think that the more important piece of it is, you know, film room and stuff like that, but also I'm not in there. I don't know. So maybe a player would, like, maybe somebody would tell you something different. But I think that it does help that this game is now instead of way later or way earlier in the season, where you're still trying to get some continuity going. But it feels like the Rams really have that right now. So from that standpoint, I do think the Rams, with their leadership group, is better equipped to have a good day on a short week than the New Orleans Saints. And there's three to see here. We're going to go ahead and start with we'll start with Matthew Stafford here. So Stafford, he's been on a tear since the bye week and is looking more like that incredible Matthew Stafford that we've gotten used to. His movement in the pocket is absolutely awesome. His mechanics are extremely tight, and that's translating to production on the field. And it helps when your weapons are making the grabs on the back end of those throws that we've been seeing. Like that pass to Cooper Kupp when he was wide open. That was almost too far. And I feel like in certain situations, like if you throw that pass to Cooper Kupp 10 times, I feel like it's a catch maybe 7 times. And it's not like one of those 9 out of 10 times or 99 out of 100 times. That's a tough catch. And luckily it was Cooper Kupp, who's an incredible player, and was able to pull that ball in. But it was almost too far. And for some of our wide receivers, that would have been too far. They would have gotten their hands on it or maybe not. But either way, when you have guys that are being able to pull in, you know, catches like that, that helps out quite a bit. And Matthew Stafford knows when he misses balls, because he's done it a few times already where he throws a pass and it shows him and he's like pointing to himself like, yeah, that was my bad, I got you. So, but obviously, like I said, if, you know, Cooper Kupp's out here doing Cooper Kupp things like that, then that, you know, plays into our favor pretty well. And next up, we're going to go with Tyler Higbee. I'm tossing in Big Rig Higgs here because dude's just reached some incredible milestones. We'll definitely talk about those here in a little bit. But this wave of celebrating the best tight end in Rams history, it has a little bit to do, I think it's got to help out his confidence, right? Like it's got to push him a little bit further of like hitting these milestones. And if I had to ballpark the Higgs slander, because it definitely was not 0%, but if I had to kind of like ballpark it this week, I didn't really see a lot of it. And the comments that I did see were like, I don't know about this. Like I see people like the comments were kind of like, I had no idea he was in the range of breaking top 10 in certain categories. And then somebody commented that he's always hurt, which I mean, he's not always hurt, but he's also like he averages like one missed game a year. So I don't know, man, but either way, I think Tyler Higbee's in a good spot right now. He's kind of like, he seems like he's healthier right now than he has been all year. We know that he was dealing with something, but yeah, Tyler Higbee, man, best tight end in Rams history. And we're going to need a good game from him here as we are officially into effectively playoff games as Thursday Night Football has become. And then my last of the three to see is going to be wide receiver Tutu Atwell, the Tutu train, coming back to the field for missing that one game due to a concussion. Atwell is one of the few players coming into this game who didn't just get beat up on Sunday. And I say beat up as like not like a like an injured thing, but as like football games are hard and they're very violent and very physical. So Tutu, though, not having those hits on Sunday, should be able to be a pretty sweet asset for the Rams this week. And if a lot of attention's going to 10 and 17, then 5 could be able to take the top off here. Flip over to the other side here. We got the Saints offense against the Rams defense. The Saints offense is 17th in the league, putting up a little under 350 a game. Rams defense is 17th in the league, putting up or giving up a little over 350 a game right now. And passing the football, the Saints a little over 231 a game. That's 14th in the league. And the Rams defense giving up about 226. That's 21st in the league. And on the ground attack here, the Saints are 19th in the league, putting up about 103 a game. Rams defense giving up about 111. That is 14th in the league. And points being scored, 22.1 for the Saints. That's tied for 12th. And the Rams defense, 22.1. That is 19th in the league. So if the Saints put up 22.1, which I realize is impossible, but I mean, it's a thing. The averages would make sense, at least. So like a 21 to 24 points for the Saints does make total sense. And if we're just looking at averages here as well, on the other side of that, same pocket, same window, about 21 to 20, well, maybe even 22-ish there for the other side there for if we're just looking at averages. So yeah, 21 to 24 makes total sense for this game. If that's the final of this game, the average is all played out for sure. But on the defensive side here, the Rams defense, they did enough last week, but it did feel like a little bit of a step down from previous week. So I would look for a bit of a bounce back in intensity this week, as it did look like it was like, oh, Commanders, yeah, we got this. You know, that's kind of just the vibe it had. Like, it really felt like it should have been like a blowout in that game. It was an 8-point win for the Rams, which dubs are dubs, dude. But I would say that that game did feel like it should have been further apart than an 8-point game. But you almost need a game like that at this point right now to be like, oh, okay, no, we just need to turn it on and just be that for the rest of the year now. But the Saints, they have an okay offense. This isn't where they make their money, though. So they're very much like work the ball down the field, not a like call this play, call this play, call this play, and set up this explosive play. They're very much like a get to third and manageable, convert, get to third and manageable, convert, which can play into the favor of the Rams, Raheem Morris, you know, style of defense right now. But it also can absolutely hurt because if he's playing that off coverage on a third and two, and then we just kind of do that the whole way down the field, then not only are they converting third downs, but they're also eating up all the clock. So that's where the kind of concerns come in. But there's something about the Saints offense that I really like the way the Rams defense matches up, especially coming off of last week where we did see some performances from guys maybe less than stellar, less than what we wanted them to be. Speaking of, 3-C, we're going to go with Akello and Darian for one. Because I'm going both. DK had a pretty tough week last week, and I was hoping that looking at the tape would show me that there was maybe just, you know, it was here and there, and that he just happened to get taken advantage of in certain settings as far as like the plays go. But no, he did just have he had a bad day. So that happens. But a major part of the Rams being able to have success is and getting after the quarterback is these two dudes locking up and not giving the quarterback a lot of space, making him think a little bit longer about where he's going with the football. And so we need these guys this week to kind of clamp that down. And of course, you know, Michael Thomas back on IR. So you got you've got Olave. Who else is on? My brain is not participating here. Let's see here. So yeah, we had, Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. Yeah. So that's a tough task, man. Those are good players here. So we'll see. We'll see if the secondary for the Rams is able to kind of to hold these guys down. You're next up in the 3-C, though. I'm going with Nick Hampton. That's right, the rookie. After a kind of shaky game where he got pushed around, that was against Baltimore. Hampton did have some splash plays against the Commanders, so don't look now. But are we seeing another rookie make it from this like from this draft class make a massive impact? It's a big watch here, but the thing is with Nick Hampton is like what I'm watching for specifically in this game is snap count. I'm not looking for necessarily full on production yet. He's barely played football yet, like in the NFL. So I mean, he's got a little bit of leeway in my own brain. Whether you give him any or not, not my problem. But I give him like a little bit. Like he can have some bad plays. It's gonna happen. You're never gonna play a perfect game, so whatever. But Nick Hampton's snap counts is what I'm looking for, because if his snap counts are high, that means that the coaching staff throughout the week and in the meeting room, stuff like that, they're whatever they're seeing and hearing and witnessing is telling them to get this guy on the field more. So that is all you need to know about Nick Hampton is if the coaches want him to get out there and the coaches think that we need to get some reps out of Nick Hampton, that should be a reason to get excited about Nick Hampton. If the coaches decide that he doesn't need the reps right now, maybe he still needs some time to develop, then maybe we can get excited about Nick Hampton next year. But that story is going to tell us something. Those numbers are going to tell us something. And next up on our 3-C, we're going to go with Bobby Brown. For the attention that Aaron Donald and Kobe Turner get, Bobby Brown is definitely having a massive impact up front. Both Turner and Brown, they are clearly taking some steps out of the Aaron Donald, you know, film room, which is absolutely amazing. But Brown's body type and his lower body strength allows him to really move some humans up front, which is really cool to see. And we've seen it a lot against zone, where he's just able to kind of just ruin those schemes, which is awesome. Because then you get him ruining schemes, then you got Turner and AD out there too. Dude, this D-line is sick, man. And I hate to kind of even to think about it right now, but like a post-Aaron Donald Rams defensive line right now, I think we're in okay hands at the moment, which is very good news. And yeah, let's move gears here to some milestones. So quarterback Matthew Stafford needs 1,622 passing yards to pass Eli Manning on the all-time list. With only 3 games left, he would need to absolutely light it up, so probably not going to hit that one. Also, 13 touchdowns to pass Eli for 10th all-time. So I'm guessing that if we, you know, see Matthew Stafford come back for one more year, that we'll see him crack into the top 10 on all these, which I'm assuming is going to happen. It's a bold assumption. I don't know. Maybe he's back, maybe he's not. But either way, it's totally fine with me. And he does need one fourth quarter comeback to pass Drew Brees for 5th all-time, so currently tied. Running back Kyren Williams needs 47 rushing yards to hit 1,000 on the season. Would be the first Rams running back to hit 1,000 rushing since Todd Gurley. I believe that was, what, the 18 season. So it's been a while since the Rams have had a 1,000-yard rusher. Kyren Williams, though, 47. He should be able to hit that within the next 3 games here, as he's been unbelievable. He's even missed games and stuff. I mean, that dude is unreal. It's really cool to see. Underrated right now, even from the Rams fan perspective, I think. And Puka Nacua, he does need 311 receiving yards to pass Bill Grohman for the most receiving yards by a rookie in NFL history. That rookie's that record by Bill Grohman set in 1960. So Puka Nacua does need to average just under 104 a game to be able to pass that, which we know he's capable of, but we'll see how it all shakes out. Puka Nacua also needs 18 receptions to pass Jaylen Waddle for most receptions by a rookie in NFL history. That is just an average of 6 a game for the rest of the year. Wide receiver Cooper Kupp needs 342 receiving yards to hit 1,000 on the season, which would be an average of 114 a game. He is absolutely capable of that. But of course, Cooper Kupp did miss some good amount of time earlier this year. So he started this season on IR. So for him to hit 1K, I think is a massive win. And he also needs 37 receptions to pass Henry Ellard for 3rd in franchise history, which would mean he would only be behind Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce with 37 more receptions in a Rams uniform. Tight end Tyler Higbee reached 10th and 9th in receptions in Rams history versus Washington. He did pass crazy legs, which is absolutely awesome. He needs 82 receiving yards to pass Harold Jackson for 14th most in franchise history, and 2 receiving touchdowns to pass Robert Woods for 14th most in franchise history. Defensive lineman Aaron Donald needs 3 tackles for loss to pass Julius Peppers for 3rd most in NFL history, needs 5 sacks to move into the top 25 in NFL history, and 1 forced fumble to move into tied for 43rd most in NFL history. Edge rusher Byron Young make an appearance on our milestone watch, as he needs just 0.5 sack to pass Kevin Carter for 2nd most sacks by a rookie. But defensive tackle Kobe Turner also at 5.5 sacks, meaning they could both pass Kevin Carter for that list of rookie sacks here. The history of this matchup. So the Rams do lead the all-time series 43-35, making this the 79th all-time meeting between these two. The most recent game coming on November 20th of 2022, that was a Saints win 27-20. The first ever game between these two came back in 1967 on September 17th. That was a Rams win 27-13. The Rams won the first 4 in this series and 18 of the first 24 against the Saints. So absolutely killed it amongst the beginning of the Saints' time. But also, the Saints are one of those teams that, I mean, we know the Aints, you know what I mean? Like, they've had some stretches there where they were not good at football. And the Rams have like, always kind of been, like, a decent team, like, historically speaking. Like you go all the way back, and it's like the Rams will have, like, really good spikes, but then, like, some droughts and that'll last, you know, like, 6, 7, 8 years, stuff like that, and then kind of come back a little bit. And then, you know, sometimes you have some sick seasons, like greatest show on turf, or, you know, coming back and winning the Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford, stuff like that. But either way, these teams have had quite the history against each other. Obviously, 79th meeting all time this Thursday, which is pretty sweet stuff. The Saints' longest win streak in this game, that was the early 90s. Between 1990 and 93, that was a seven-game win streak for the Saints. The Rams and Saints are tied in, or excuse me, let's see here. Where am I thinking here? Oh yeah, it was it tied for postseason all time, which is 1-1. So the 2000 season, it was the wild card. Saints won 31-28. That was heartbreaking, of course, after the Rams had won the Super Bowl the year before. And then, of course, the NFC Championship game, known mainly for the absolutely clutch performance from Greg Zuerlein, hitting a 48-yarder to send the game to overtime and a 57-yarder to win the game in overtime to send the Rams to the Super Bowl, and not known for much else outside of Greg Zuerlein being extremely clutch and Jared Goff hitting Tyler Higbee for a couple of back-to-back plays in the flats while people are just draped on him, which is super sick stuff. But that's the main part of that game and what it's most remembered for sure. And the Rams have an awesome trend of being able to put together some postseason performances against teams who have beaten them in the regular season. And that's really what that was there, is the 45-35 win for the Saints in the regular season. And, of course, the Rams coming back in NFC Championship and snagging a dub. And that also happened in the 21 season. Of course, the Niners had won two straight against, or, I mean, they won more than that, but they beat the Rams twice in the regular season, and an NFC Championship game was able to come out with a win. So maybe, just maybe, we will see something similar to that in this season. Maybe we'll get like a Cowboys or an Eagles, you know, something like that in the NFC Championship game, which would be, hey, history, man. It repeats itself sometimes, and that would be cool. Some connections in this one. Some former Rams who are on the Saints right now. We have assistant offensive line coach Kevin Carberry. He was with the Rams from 21 to 22, so he does have a ring from the Rams. Senior defensive assistant Peter Guinta, probably said that wrong. He was with the Rams from 97 to 2000. And pass rush specialist Brian Young, he was a player for the Rams from 2000 to 2003. There are no former Saints on the Rams. We don't want them, dweebs. Some other connections here in the NFL. Aubrey Pleasant coached safety Jonathan Abram and cornerback Shamar Jean Charles. That happened last year in Green Bay. Coleman Shelton and Max Garcia, they played together in Arizona in 2019. Saints guard Trey Turner, he did play in Washington with Carson Wentz last year, and in Pittsburgh with both Akella Witherspoon and Kevin Dotson. And some college connections here. We have Jordan Fuller played at Ohio State with wide receiver Chris Olave, linebacker Pete Werner, and cornerback Marshawn Lattimore. So big connections there. Tyler Johnson, the wide receiver, who I believe just got activated, if I'm not mistaken there. He played in Minnesota with defensive back Jordan Howden of the Saints. Running back Ronnie Rivers, who not expected to be ready for this game. I think it's actually too late. But he, of course, his practice window has been activated. He did play at Fresno State with quarterback Jake Haener, 21 to 22. Haener, backup for the Saints. He's a rookie. He had the most ridiculous rookie photos of all time. They're hilarious, but also, come on. And then Bobby Brown played at Texas A&M with interior offensive lineman Eric McCoy. He was a center at A&M when I was watching there, but I know he plays some guard and stuff like that. He kind of wiggles around there. But Bobby Brown at the Aggie as well. That's your game preview. And like I said, this is effectively a playoff game. Whoever wins this game controls their own destiny. They will be sitting in the playoff picture with the ability to control their own destiny. The loser of this game will need help, and a good chunk of help. Let's say the Rams lose this game. Not only does that put the Rams at 7-8 and the Saints at 8-7, the Saints would also have the tiebreaker, which would mean the Rams would need the Saints to lose to their last two games, and the Rams would need to win their last two games to have a chance to overtake them. Of course, you also got the other factors in there, like the Minnesota Vikings, who play the Detroit Lions this week. So we really could see the Saints and the Rams in the playoff picture. We could see the Rams and the Seahawks in the playoff picture. There's a lot of moving pieces in this one as far as that wild card spot goes. So this is, though, a massive game. A loss in this game would maybe mean that the Rams don't make the playoffs. And a win in this game means that the Rams, honestly, probably will make the playoffs. So, yeah, it's effectively a playoff game. Not totally, not 100%. It's not if you lose, you're completely out. But if you lose, you're almost out. And you need help now. So that's a big factor of it. So that is your game preview. Thanks for hanging out with me. A big, big game. And, Saints at the Rams this week. Both 7-7. And fighting for that 7 seed right now to continue playing after week 18. We have some awesome fan quesos. We'll get into those on the other side of this break. It's right here at Ram Showcase. Okay, let's go ahead and dive into our fan quesos. And we're going to start with a few that I saw late. I don't know if they were commented late or if I got to them late, but either way, I'm going to answer them here because I like these questions. They're coming from Gary. First one here is going to say, great show last week. I do enjoy your insights. How much time does it take you to prepare each week? Man, that's a hard question to answer because I'm kind of always preparing. Like, even as I'm watching the game, I'm kind of thinking about stuff, especially when we were doing Ram Showcase Live, which I do want to bring back, just a heads up. But when we were doing Ram Showcase Live, it was kind of like a lot of stuff of like, okay, what do I want to talk about? And it's kind of happening as I'm watching the game of like, ooh, that's definitely something I'm going to bring up or something along those lines. But then I sit down and actually like time typing. I mean, my notes are kind of absurd, honestly. And is it sometimes you'll do like way too much research for what will be, you know, 20 seconds worth of speaking time. So that's a hard question to answer, man. But there is definitely a good chunk of time that goes into this bad boy. And the recording process, I actually try to make that as streamlined as possible for myself. So that's why there's not a lot of cuts and stuff like that. I try to prepare so much that I don't have to actually edit a lot of audio. That's kind of just my own process here. So I get all of the information right in front of me. I don't want to have to look up anything as I'm going. So I like to have it just right in front of my face. But I would say a good chunk of time. I would say for a 1 hour podcast, I'm putting in a good maybe 4 or 5 hours. That might be a little over the top. In some cases, that might be a little under the top. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I'm going a little long on my research and stuff like that, especially once we get to playoff games. If it's a playoff game, I try to dig in as far as I can into the matchup and try to really get some good stuff there. So it kind of depends on the week, Gary, but I would say like for this week here, previewing Rams Saints, it was a little bit pushed forward, I will say. Just because it's a short week, stuff like that. But I also have kind of some processes here. Like I know exactly what I'm doing when I'm writing my stuff up. I kind of know what to do, where to look for things and stuff like that. So that kind of does help. Next one here from Gary. That was a fantastic grab by Puka. We're talking, by the way, these are from the previous week. So this was the catch against the Ravens that Gary's talking about here. So what is the best reception in Rams history? Dude, you know what? There was, what was it, 2004, 2005? That game against the Seattle Seahawks at the Edward Jones Dome where Torrey Holt caught it over, what was that, linebacker, Lofa Tatupu, in that juggling catch there. There was also another one that Holt had in the end zone that he kind of pulled in. It was absolutely crazy. Danny Amendola's catch, though, if you type in, like, Danny Amendola, as good as it gets on YouTube, that one pops up. That was absolutely crazy. If we're going impact wise, obviously you got to think of like the Cooper Kupp Super Bowl catch. You got to think of the catch against the Bucks in that NFC Championship game to send the Rams to Super Bowl in 99. Gosh, man, that's a tough one. I want to hear yours, man. I want to know what your pick is there. If anybody else has any, also, well, I drop them, man, because I'm trying to think here. Next one here from Gary is the offense looked great. They played great enough to win. What do we need to shore up? Pass defense or punt coverage? Definitely punt coverage, man. That was tough. I would say that was pretty harsh, actually. So I think that overall, when we're looking at this Rams team right now, pass defense is definitely a part of it. But I mean, there's so many moving pieces to it, man. So like, I think pass rush is singly the most important position that we need to kind of get edge rusher specifically on that side there, opposite of Byron Young. I just really think we need to kind of settle in on that a little bit. So I think that'll help the secondary out a lot, but the special teams has not been that great this year. We've seen obviously the carousel with kickers. We've seen some issues with punt coverage. Austin Trammell is fine, but he's not like he doesn't do anything that you're like, oh snap. Like he doesn't have any of those moments. My eyebrows stay at the same elevation every time I'm watching Austin Trammell return a punt. Like I'm never like, what? So there's that part too. So next one here coming from Cody. We're over on Facebook. Let's see. Should McVay be a contender for coach of the year if we make the playoffs? I mean, I absolutely think so, but also I feel like I'm biased. So there's also that part of it. But I would say, I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I haven't even really thought about this, honestly. I would say no, because we're looking at a wild card team. We also have like Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald. So I would say no, actually. But it's not like he's having a bad year, and we definitely thought this was going to be worse. So, I mean, from that standpoint, yeah. But you also got to look at, teams like Harbaugh out in Baltimore, obviously, is killing it. I would look at D'Amico Ryans out in Houston for sure. I'd be taking a peek at him. There's some teams out there maybe we didn't think would be as good as they are right now. So like you look at like a Shane Steichen, you know, something like that. So there's a lot of options out there, man. So I don't know if I'd put him in there. I do because I'm a Rams fan, but as far as like zooming out, look at the entire NFL, I would say maybe not. Next one here from Cody. What's your second half of the season thoughts on Kendrick? He seems to have struggled the farther the season has went on. After looking really good early, I've seen a lot of posts bitching about him as well. Thanks. I actually disagree with that assessment. I think he's been up and down all year. I think he's been in situations where like he started strong, then kind of fell down. Then he comes back up. Then now like he's had one bad game since, playing really well for a few weeks. So I'm definitely not one to throw him away. I'm also not one to throw any one player away if they have shown the ability to be really good, which Darian Kendrick has done. So I'm not ready to just, sell the farm and be like, all right, get him out of here. He's toast out here. You know, I'm not doing that. I realize that he had a bad game against Washington, but whatever. I mean, bad games happen, man. He definitely has more bad games than we would want to have out of a starter. But when he is on, man, he is on. So I think that has to be considered. But I actually do disagree with that. I don't think it's been like he started strong and is now bad. I think he's had one bad game off of a string of really good games since the bye week. But before the bye week, he was definitely struggling as well. But he started strong as well. So I don't know. Kind of, it's an up and down thing. So we'll see what happens. 2-2 status versus New Orleans. Sounds like he's good to go, man. So 2-2 train back in the station, ready to roll at SoFi this weekend. And next one here from Cody is, what do you think about a lot of the Lions fans wanting to beat us to cement that new Lions are for real if we match up in the playoffs? And what a story that would be. Yeah, dude. So, I mean, to kind of talk about this real fast is I think it's super iconic if we can get Stafford versus Goff in Detroit specifically. I think that that's really cool because Stafford hasn't been back to Detroit yet. Has he? No, I don't think so. So I think that would be really cool. But I can already see the headlines of like, Matthew Stafford finally helps the Lions make the Super Bowl. And that just hurts my feelings. So either way, though, I think it'd be a really cool matchup. Storyline-wise, that's top tier. Dude, that's top tier storyline stuff for NFL. So you can't go wrong when that's the case. And I know there's people out there that anytime anything awesome happens, they're like, see, it's rigged. And you're like, maybe cool things can happen, though. Like, maybe things aren't always lame. Maybe some awesome things can happen, and that's just cool, you know? So, either way. Moving on to YouTube here. We'll go back and forth here with Peo and Ram's House, as we typically do on the YouTube portion here. Let's see. What trade has less need made that impressed you the most? Stafford, RG3, or another one? And is there a worse trade looking back? Stafford trade is definitely up there, man. I would say that was a pretty solid trade. And I know that we gave up a lot to, get out of Goff's contract. And I think that that's a win-win. I don't think either team won, or excuse me, I don't think either team lost that trade. I think both teams won. I think that Jared works out there. Matthew works out here. It's kind of the perfect situation. We needed to swap him, all right? And then we also needed to unload that cap, which the Dallas or the Detroit Lions were willing to take on with a couple of firsts. So that's good there. Definitely a good trade there. Trying to think of other ones, man. The Vaughn trade was very cool because that one kind of came after sending Kenny Young out to the Denver Broncos, which kind of we were like, yo, what the heck, dude? Like, it was like, that's a good player, man. Like, what are we just giving to Denver when we're like a good team right now? What are we doing? And then it worked out because a couple weeks later we got Vaughn. So that was awesome. The RG3 trade was a lose-lose for both teams. I don't think that Washington or the Rams came out on top of that trade. We didn't really get anything out of it that like helped us. Like we got like Brian Quick. It was like, you know, like some players that just like didn't really hit for us. And then obviously RG3 is just a whole bag of bummers. And like even like a lamer person on TV and stuff like that. So I don't know. That doesn't really play into the trade, of course. But he wasn't very good on the field. I mean, he was good his rookie year and then kind of fell apart. And then now that he's talking head, he's even worse. So. So that's cool. But I would say RG3 trade, that was worse for both teams. Stafford trade, very good for both teams. If I was going to say, though, as far as like a best trade or like my favorite, anything like that, I don't really have an answer for that. I kind of just trust whatever they're doing blindly. And I know some people hate that. Some people hate that. I'm just like, you can't just like expect them to. It's like, well, I also don't control what they do. So I'm just here watching, man. Like I'm here to drink beers and high five and have a good time. So whatever they think that will lead to more high fives and more beers, then I'm for it, dude. So whatever, it's all good. The journey, dude. The journey's the best part, man. And then next one here from Rams House. What Les Snead draft? What is up with these Les Snead questions? What did you guys? Are you guys in cahoots? What Les Snead draft pick has impressed you the most in his Rams tenure? Oh God, his Rams tenure. That's tough, dude. I probably Donald though, right? I mean, I think we got to go back to that and then just say that Aaron Donald was the sickest because like. Yeah, man. I mean, that was, we even passed on him. I mean, that's like the crazy part about that. But yeah, I would say there's so many steals. I mean, we got Jordan Fuller, who's awesome. We've got Jordan Fuller. That's awesome. Like, but like Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, obviously there's so many guys that have been like very, very critical contributors onto this team who are not picked very early. So that's really cool stuff. And that's always a plus when you can get guys in the later rounds, proving that you don't need to be picking in the top five to get good talent out of the draft. That's not where all the talent is. It's not like if you're picking after the top five, then you just don't get anybody good. That's not how it works. So, we've gotten a lot of guys. Another one from Rams House. You can bring back one uniform from the Rams history to be our throwbacks. What would it be? I absolutely love the color rush. I'm a massive fan of that. That's like one of the only times that I think that same color jersey and pant looks solid. But also, you'll imagine them bad boys with some blue pants, man, or even white. I'll be honest. I think it'll be sick. So I would want to say that because I love yellow. Yellow is my favorite color. And I think like having my favorite team rock a yellow jersey was like, yo, what? Like, this is amazing. And then, I don't know, man. I would just go with our classic throws, though, man. Dude, like that's. Like our Super Bowl jerseys against the Patriots, except for if the helmet also matched and the helmet wasn't the darker blue, because I thought that looked bad, honestly. Like, I mean, and whatever. I'm not a big uniform stickler. I'm not like, ooh, we now have there's a this in the sleeve now, and I'm unhappy about it. I'm not that guy. I don't really care that much. I just win the game, right? Just play good football, and I'm happy. I don't care what you wear, you know. The throwback logo or the throwback style of Rams jersey that we saw like, you know, back in like early days of St. Louis and stuff like that. Those are iconic, dude, for sure. I would absolutely love to bring those back. Even full time would be sick, but I also don't hate what we have now. So I'm one of like 12 fans that like our current uniform. So it's all good. Next one here from Payo Time. I am more and more convinced that the Rams trade their first round pick next year and 2025 for a star player in the offense. In the offseason, excuse me. What position would you want the Rams to trade for if this happens? I would say edge rusher, man. I think that that is a hole right now, unless somebody like Nick Hampton can keep it rolling. And obviously he's played like two games, really. So we'll see, but. I think that would be a big one there, or you know, let's shore up that offensive line a little bit more. You can always use more offensive linemen. Going with like a really sick corner opposite of Akello would be really cool, because I mean, I like DK a lot, but like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like we can't improve at that spot. You know what I mean? So, I would love to bring in another secondary player that plays to the level of a Jalen Ramsey. Cause I mean, we know, what that can do for your defense. So it's absolutely massive. On offense, we don't really need anybody right now, but if we're thinking about, you know, the age of Matthew Stafford, then let's ship off some ones and let's bring in Trevor Lawrence, dude. Cause that's like my dream, actually. I was talking to somebody about that earlier today. Is like, if I had like the ideal world, Matthew Stafford in a couple years would retire and then Trevor Lawrence comes over. I absolutely love Trevor Lawrence, man. I think he's absolutely unbelievable. I think he's underrated. And also, I think he plays for the Jags, and I think that gives him a bad name. And I think that like people kind of think that like people watch him with the Jaguars, and I just think that it's like, I don't know. It's not perfect. All right. Either way, I'm not trying to like sit here and bash the Jags, but there's better situations for a guy like Trevor Lawrence. And in a Sean McVay offense at SoFi Stadium, dude, sick. All right. Next one here from Rams House. What's one new rule you would like the NFL to implement or take out if possible? Take out that stupid fair catch on a kickoff gives you a touchback. I hate it with my whole heart. And it's not even that big of a deal. But when you see Austin Trammell calling for a fair catch when he's catching the kickoff at the 10-yard line and no one's even close to him, you're like, dude, go, man. Just catch it and run, man. Let's just try. Let's see what happens. And actually, this last week, we saw a lot of returns as far as like the NFL goes, which was really interesting. It was like the whole NFL was like, let's just start taking these, which is cool. But that I hate that rule, man. And I don't know if I would implement another rule. I think that the spike is a cheap play that by all definitions is intentional grounding. I think that play has to be taken out. But that's also like that's it feels so nitpicky to say that, you know. And Rams House, what would it be like to share a room with Kobe Turner? It would probably be so wholesome, man. He would probably just be like singing and stuff like that. And I play guitar, so it'd be like, yo, let's write some tunes, dude. Like, that'd be kind of fun, man. So, yeah, I played guitar since, 2006, something like that. That was a long time ago. But, yeah, dude, me and him would jam out, dude. That'd be so much fun, man. We'd write some music for sure. But he would probably be like, humming a lot, you know. And eventually be like, all right, dude, shut up. Yeah, sometimes you got to do it. Sometimes you got to. Next one here from Rams House. Sean McVay is getting a stocking stuffer. What do you think it would be? Getting like he's buying stocking stuffers or he's receiving a stocking stuffer? Because I am stalling because I don't know either way. Actually, this is a hard question. I don't totally understand what you're looking for here. I'm gonna go ahead and say that he is receiving a stocking stuffer gift. And I will say he's getting a game ball because he's always passing them out, dude, but he's not getting them. So I would say, I don't know if a game ball will fit in a stocking. Depends on the stocking, I guess. There's a lot of factors in that, but, I would say that, man, he's going to get a game ball, man. Cause, he's earned it. I would say so. That's a hard question, man. That's the hardest one you've asked in a long time. Payo time. Which Rams offensive lineman would make the best mall Santa? Rams House commented and said that Steve Avila would be the best mall Santa and said the kid is so genuinely nice. I think he did dress as Santa this year. And yeah, Payo Time said I thought the same. So yeah, obviously though, it's Steve, dude. He is so pure. He is like the most wholesome dude on the team. Him and Kobe Turner are the most wholesome dudes on the team. And Puka, damn it, dude. I don't even know, man. I know you said offensive linemen, but these rookies are so sick, dude. I'm loving our rookie class. The 2023 LA Rams rookie class is one of my favorite things to happen to this team, dude. And it's like, I feel like, and obviously after year one, we can't really say much, but like, I feel like in like 10, 15, 20 years, we're going to be talking about this class of like, dang, those guys were all in the same class. We got Ethan Evans and Puka Nacua and Steve Avila and Byron Young and Kobe Turner. Like, I feel like that's what, and maybe Trey Tomlinson develops into that guy. Davis Allen, man, like who knows, but either way, this rookie class, I'm so big of a fan of this rookie class. It's so much fun. But yeah, obviously Steve is that guy. I would say I would toss in Rob as like a backup, as a backup mall Santa, because he's a great dude as well. And he's got, you know, He's just like, he's got that whole vibe to him of like just calm dude who's going to handle business. And if you're looking for a Santa dude, so like Santa obviously has to handle his business. You know what I mean? Like he can't just be slacking off out here, dude. So, yeah, I would say choice A, Steve. Choice B is Rob. So that's what we're doing there. And yeah, that's appreciate your fan quesos. Some Christmas related fan quesos in there, which I'm a fan of. That's pretty cool stuff. That is what I celebrate. That is the holiday that I celebrate. But I hope that whatever you're celebrating this time of year, that you have an incredible time. This is not about the battle of the holidays or anything like that. We're all just out here trying to celebrate our stuff. And I think that no matter what you're celebrating, I think that that's absolutely amazing. Just because I don't celebrate it doesn't mean that I can't be stoked for you. I hope that however you're celebrating it, however you're doing it, whatever you're doing, even if you don't do any kind of holiday, well, I hope that you're having an awesome end of the year, no matter what you've got going on this time of year. So that is absolutely awesome. Get some holiday questions in there. Yeah, dude, Merry Christmas to you if that's what you celebrate. If you don't, then happy what you celebrate, all right? I'm not trying to hurt any feelings, anything like that. I'm trying to be inclusive here a little bit. But I hope that whatever you are getting into this holiday season, that it's absolutely awesome. And that you get to spend some good family time and do all that stuff. Because that's my favorite part of it, is that I get together with, I've got a pretty, decent sized family. But for holidays, we've kind of toned it down. And we've made the decision to my dad, my sister, and my niece. So we just get together, and I absolutely love it, man. My niece is one of my favorite human beings. She is so much fun, man. So, and it's obviously awesome to see my dad, awesome to see my sister. So I always have an awesome time for this holiday, for sure. But whatever you're celebrating, man, I hope it's awesome, for sure. But that's going to do it for me. Thanks for hanging out with me. And we're getting into it, the thick of the playoff race here, and this is effectively a playoff game as the Rams taking on the Saints, SoFi Stadium, which might be the final time that SoFi Stadium sees the Rams until September time. So yeah, you gotta take advantage if you're heading out that way. We talked about some tips for you to take full advantage of this awesome time, as of course, like I said, this might be the final chance. So RamsShowcase.com. Click under that merch tab. It's where you can snag your Rams Showcase t-shirts at. You can also keep up with the Rams Showcase right there on socials at Rams Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags. So be sure to give a follow there. We try to post distribution maps. I try to keep up with the milestones and all that stuff of what these Rams players are hitting, which I have an absolute blast with. I think that's super, super fun. So thanks for hanging with me. And yeah, let's go Rams. Let's beat up on the Saints this Thursday. And then what's actually kind of nice about this, I talked about this earlier, but what's kind of nice is that, like, we do get a Thursday game, which I hate with my whole heart, but it kind of frees up our holiday weekend a little bit. You know, it kind of sit back and not just relax after our game's done. We get to just chill and watch the rest of the madness unfold, which is pretty cool stuff there. So, again, thanks for hanging, but that is going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio, the fan-sided network, and Broad Street South. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for listening, and go Rams.